now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Game Football Podcast from The Times. Euro 2020, we're on to episode 6 as well. Show us that they can be a force this year. Italy remind us that they will be a force this year. And Russia give themselves a great chance as Euro 2020 really begins to hot up. This is the game. This is Hugh Wisencroft. Hello, welcome. If you're enjoying the podcast, remember to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. And definitely make sure you're subscribed to The Times and Sunday Times right now, with journalists dotted around the continent to bring you the best of Euro 2020. Sign up today. Get The Times online for less than £1 per day. Search thetimes.co.uk/the game to begin your free trial. Now, the niceties are out of the way. Let's say hello to today's guests, Ian Hawkey and Gregor Robertson. How are you?
Very well.
Hi. Well, thanks.
How are you? How was Wales? Tell us about that. It must have been a great game to be at.
It was absolutely fantastic to be at the game. I mean, the first game had put me through the ringer completely, I'll be honest, just because it was so end-to-end. Really, Wales rode their luck so much against Switzerland. They managed to come from behind and get that 1-1 draw. And then today, it was virtually the same. It was adrenaline-fueled, but it was simply because Wales had all those chances in the first half. We had 30,000 fans. They were all supporting Turkey. The president had come on an aptly timed official visit as well. It was hot, sultry air. The players looked like it was honestly one of the most difficult, and it was difficult experiences out on a football pitch, but it was just the sheer effort you could see putting in. And then, of course, I mean, look, the drama, the penalty miss, the missed chances at both ends. It just had one of those games that was absolutely great for the neutral. But I mean, I'm an adopted Wales fan while I'm here. But of course, to be a Wales fan and watch that game must have been terrorizing in many respects, but they made it in the end. What did you think about it, Gregor?
I thought they were outstanding, really. I mean, you're right. It was kind of, it was their intent from the off. You know, they were really brave and they went at them, I thought. And Dan James was at the heart of a lot of that. And Turkey came in and had a little period, about 10, 15 minutes in the first half. They defended really resolutely. But all the big players just stepped up today. The biggest names, the big players stepped up to the plate. And I thought it was a brilliant performance, just in every manner. You know, as I say, just created lots of chances. Really attacked them from the off. But when they had to, they dug very deep, as you say, and it was a kind of gritty performance as well as anything. And you know, there were kind of echoes of that togetherness that kind of fueled Wales's surge in Euro 2016. And it seems that they're still a very kind of united group of guys. It'd be interesting to see how far that can take them.
Ian, was it the match of the competition so far?
Oh, yeah, a big call, but it was certainly a brilliant way of launching, I guess, the second round. You know, it was really thrilling. There was a total change of mood, as you say, from Wales since Saturday. I was utterly enthralled. I think we all enjoyed Holland Ukraine for its seesaw action, but arguably the match of the tournament so far, and given that I guess given that sort of veneer of glamour, because you know Wales's superstars not only turned up but you know turned up so together, didn't they? You know, it was lovely to see two senior worldly, very, very gifted players who've won titles abroad combining in a way that they probably aspired to combine when they were teenagers together. I'm talking about Ramsey and Bale, obviously.
We will talk a little bit more about Ramsey and Bale and the impact of both players on the game. But Wales now have 4 points in Group A after beating Turkey by 2-0. We'll be eulogising, like I say, a little bit more about their performances here in Azerbaijan in a moment. But earlier I spoke to Gary Jacob. He was also, like me, in the Baku Olympic Stadium a little bit earlier on and began by asking him about that really eventful first half. Gary, what a game inside the Baku Olympic Stadium. Before we get to what happened in the match, what did you make of the atmosphere with so many fans there, Azerbaijani, I guess, but also who've made the trip from Turkey? It seemed like a Turkish home game. Even the president was there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was like football used to be, or that like football should be. There was very loud drums as you walk into the ground, proper raucous atmosphere inside the ground, hostility, boos. And I think Bell sort of hit the nail on the head after the game when he said that it got his adrenaline pumping. And I think that's perhaps what people have been missing for the last year, and certainly Wales thrived on it.
Could you quite believe what you were seeing in that first half? Wales could have had 3 or 4.
I couldn't believe how assured they were and how confident they were and comfortable and how they took the game to Turkey. And I think we all thought that Turkey would sort of go at them and just cause Wales problems. And they didn't really throughout the game. I think apart from the one chance at the end, which Danny Ward saved, really Turkey didn't really create very much. You almost put one over the bar. But really they didn't. And I think that was quite the astonishing. They changed the system. They played three up top and Ramsey in behind. And Ramsey sort of making the runs and Bale finding him really sort of outfoxed Turkey, and they never seemed to get to grips with it in the whole game. He went through in the opening minutes when the goalkeeper saved at the near post. He went through again when he should have scored and he thought he was offside, and obviously then he went through again when he did score. And Turkey just didn't seem to kind of get to deal with that at all the whole evening. But it wasn't just about Ramsey and Bale. I mean, Bale's passes were absolutely magnificent tonight. I mean, he created 5 chances and Ramsey's running. But it's just about the other performances as well. You know, Ben Davies did really well. Rodon did well. Meppen didn't make a mistake. And Danny Ward, again, continued in goal and showed that he's kind of made that shirt his now. Alan did well in midfield. Whereas against Switzerland, they were completely bossed in midfield. And this time, they actually had to hold in the midfield. There wasn't really a spell in the game where you thought perhaps Turkey were going to equalise. It was probably as fine as performance they've had since probably Euro 2016 in the Russia game and the Belgium game in that tournament.
Yeah, I thought they were absolutely magnificent. It was at times it felt end-to-end, but it wasn't really. Every time Turkey got a corner, that was the only time you really felt they were going to threaten. They were really, really disappointing. But I think you have to give credit, like you have been, to Rob Page and his side. Aaron Ramsey in particular, I know you've mentioned the aspect of the tactical battle that sort of he benefited from most. But physically, we had so many question marks over him, and he put in a performance tonight that's probably as good as we've seen from him in a Wales shirt since 2016.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, he scored the 2 goals that took them to qualification against Hungary in November 2019. And after that, of the following 10 games, he basically only played in one, and the rest he was out through injury. He had 5 separate injuries today. And you watched him, he was running around, he was sprinting. And there's one just magnificent tackle where he sprinted back and he did a slide challenge in probably the last 10 minutes. And I thought that really summed up his performance, really. It was just full of energy, full of endeavour. And it really was like the Ramsey of kind of old, because he was getting forward and being able to get back. And I suppose it's just credit as well to the Wales medical staff for kind of getting him into that shape that he could play that sort of game. And let's hope he can still kind of do the 3 games in a week, and there are no effects from previous injuries.
Well, it takes a lot of pressure off their final group match against Italy. They've now officially, I think, got just over a 99% chance of going through with 4 points gained out in Baku in Group A. As I'm looking at the screen behind me, Italy look like they're going to comfortably beat Switzerland. Could make for a fascinating final match between Switzerland and Turkey as well. But I did want to ask you, now that it looks like Wales are going to qualify, whether you believe this squad under Rob Page, unlike Chris Coleman the last time around in 2016, have what it takes to emulate that squad that performed so admirably reaching the semi-finals?
I think probably not. And obviously, it all depends on the drawing because, you know, even 5 years ago, they got a kind of, they got Ireland, which wasn't favourable, was a relatively favourable draw, Northern Ireland. And then they did well against Belgium, obviously. But I think this team probably doesn't have as many good players or top players in as that team did. So to ask this team to kind of repeatedly do it is quite a big ask. And I think we saw on Saturday against Switzerland, and Switzerland really should have kind of put that game to bed. So, I mean, this is a, take nothing away from this wonderful performance tonight, but I think much is going to be dependent on who they draw going forward. And yeah, if they get a favourable draw, obviously, you know, they can possibly go, maybe get to the quarterfinals. But I think it is all going to be on draw. And if they finish second, they obviously go to Amsterdam. And, maybe, who knows? But I think they're just, there's so many elements of this team that are probably going to need to kind of keep on playing well and keep on playing at the same level, because there's so many of them haven't played this season. From people like Rodon has not played that often, Meppen's not played that often, Ampadu had an injury at the end of the season, Allen had an injury at the end of the season, Ward didn't play for at all, he hasn't played the league game in 4 years. So you've got all of these elements. So it's okay perhaps doing it on tonight, but can they then repeatedly do it? You know, the one thing that Rob Page said after, which is sort of summed it up, was it doesn't matter when some of these players are playing, when they put when they see the crest on their shirt, they play for the shirt, and that turns them into completely different players. And you could see that tonight. They all want to play for their country. It means so much more to them than the clubs, and certainly the way Bale galvanised them in the huddle at the end, and was giving them the kind of the talk with lots of expletives. You really sense how to get that. I think this is perhaps as well after the Saturday was quite flat, and I think this really perhaps will give them a bit of a kick start now in the tournament. They go to Italy, they've got nothing to lose. You know, if they end up with a draw, end up in a defeat, they'll go through. And then, you know, who knows?
Are you off to Rome very quickly, and do you think they can shock the Italians in a word?
No. I think Italy will make changes, won't they? And I think Wales probably, if there's a chance of finishing second, perhaps even in defeat, then perhaps they'll also kind of make one or two changes. I mean, Rob Page played the same team tonight, which is a bit of a surprise. You know, whether they can kind of keep doing that.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Gary Jacob, they're not holding out at too high hopes for Wales in their final group match. But like we say, they're virtually guaranteed now to be in the knockout stages. Ian remarked earlier on about Aaron Ramsey, just how unbelievable the Juventus midfielder was in this game. Gregor Robertson, was he back to his absolute best?
He certainly was. I mean, at the start of the game, you know, he was put through. That was the third, when he made that run to kind of meet Bale's pass to score the opening goal, that was the third time that those two players linked up in that way in the first half. And, you know, he'd missed the first two very good chances. And you're thinking, you know, he's not really had much game time coming into the tournament, you know, had troubles with injury. You're just wondering if he's going to, if really actually him being on the pitch was the right call. That was, you know, I was thinking, certainly thinking that some others wouldn't. I know he's a talismanic figure for Wales, but that was going through my mind. And then as the game grew, he got better and better. And the timing of those runs were just brilliant. And then he saw him in the second half, hearing back and throwing himself into tackles, kind of last-ditch tackles. And yeah, he was outstanding. But as I said, all of those big players, Bale stepped up, obviously. The bravery as well, those two corner kicks at the end, to kind of everyone said, just keep it in the corner. And twice he tries, you know, something pretty audacious, and the second one seals the win. And it was great scenes for everyone. And as I say, I thought Dan James relentless, just keeps going at them. And Kiefer Moore was like a warrior. So that front four, we said it before the competition, that front four on their day there are going to be a real handful for anyone. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, the Italy game. It's a bit of a dead rubber. I mean, it could be something riding on it, but Italy will no doubt make some changes as well. And Italy have arguably been the most impressive team in the whole competition so far. So that'll be both Italy's biggest test and, you know, a kind of marker of for Wales a little bit, just to see how far perhaps they can go.
Just after you mention it, talk me through those two corners from a defensive perspective. So you allow Gareth Bale to dribble right into the 6-yard box and have a shot. And then 10 seconds later, as it goes out for a corner on the other side, you allow him to do exactly the same. This time you've put two men on him and he manages to set up a goal. I mean, I'll ask Ian about this. Turkey, what on earth? I mean, there were so many people's dark horse. They've been so underwhelming. What on earth was going on tonight?
If you'd followed the press conference from their manager, Senol Gunes, who you know is a very, very respected and admirable figure, you'd have been none the wiser at the end of it. You know, he was quite perplexed as well as about what had gone on. I mean, he was getting his excuses in early that the system was there, the work was there, but if you keep giving away the ball, then what can you do? I suppose if you can be specific in the several things that went wrong over two games for Turkey, I mean, the fullbacks were just awful.
Yes.
Both games, yeah. And Gregor can inform us in detail about everything that went wrong, but that seemed to me a conspicuous weakness.
Particularly right back Celik. I mean, in the first game against Italy, he had a torrid time against Insigne and Spinazzola. And then Spinazzola, Dan James from the off, really. You know, I think they switched sides, and then he came back on the left, and he had the beating of him several times. So that was certainly. I thought they looked quite ill-disciplined, though, really, as well. They weren't, you know, you could. Perhaps the manager was talking about the shape and the structure and stuff being there, but I thought they looked pretty unorganised and kind of, I don't know, even slightly demotivated. They weren't really, as you say, those two kind of towards the death. They were throwing balls into the box. They, you know, apart from the one chance that the striker had from a corner blazed over the bar. Really, they didn't carve out many opportunities. And as you say, those two corner kicks are the death. I mean, the first one, perhaps you can say, is a little bit audacious, and you know, you can let them away with it. And you saw Soyuncu kind of berating his teammates. And then, you know, 30 seconds later, Bale did the same thing to him. And it was like, yeah, hugely disappointing after the kind of build up that we heard about Turkey.
Gareth Bale, who was instrumental, got both assists, of course. I was watching him, and it's an interesting one. You know, he does not have the speed that he used to have. Maybe still the speed of Thor. Dropping deeper, he seems to have more of an effect now. Running at players doesn't get the same burst away from them. Maybe that will come back because, of course, we know he's had his injury problems and not played a lot of football over the last couple of years. Maybe still got something left in terms of that as well. But I felt it was like you have to leave Gareth Bale on. You know, you can't take Gareth Bale off, as he showed towards the end of that game. But I do feel like he's running at the absolute limit. He's like a car engine that is just about to overheat at all times. You know, that penalty for me, Ian, almost summed it up. You know, that is the sort of thing that happens to a player that's tired. You know, in some of the decision making, they burst through a 3-on-2, Gareth Bale, the ball at his feet. You think he's going to choose the right option, tries to take on Soyuncu, and he's easily tackled. That was earlier on in the game. What do you think Gareth Bale can do? What did he show today that he can do in this tournament, Ian?
Well, something that I think genuinely surprised me, and I've watched him a lot at Real Madrid. You know, his transformation into Toni Kroos, basically. you know, those lovely little balls through to his old friend Ramsey, admittedly against a disorganized Turkey defense who didn't seem to be able to be forewarned of anything. You know, they would repeat the same errors, but you know, those were lovely passes, and they were in their own way quite inspired passes, and in some ways, you know, not archetypal Gareth Bale ideas or manoeuvres or positions on the pitch. Even I agree with you that there were some wrong decisions, and particularly obviously a bad decision with the penalty. But you know, he was galvanizing, wasn't he? It was a great Gareth Bale performance. And actually, I was just looking through the Spanish front pages for tomorrow, particularly because on Sunday there was a particularly mean headline in a Madrid paper saying Wales survive Bale, you know, because they got their draw and Bale had been rather invisible. And you know, there was quite a lot of praise for him, and as you know, he's aware that he doesn't always get the best press in Madrid, but I think everybody appreciated that he was a real leader today.
Rob Page deserves a lot of credit, because you know, there was clamour for some changes today, and he kind of stuck to his guns, and even the team he named in the first game was a bit of a surprise to a lot of people, but he obviously had his plan in his head and he stuck to it, and he thinks he sees what he believes is the best Wales team to get a result. And you know, today they really, as I say, it was the start that really impressed me. They were very brave. They went for it. And I think, you know, that fans watching from home, the few hundred that were in the stadium, that's really what you want to see your team and your country do. And I think Wales fans will be very, very proud tonight.
I think absolutely they will. And the few hundred that are in the stadium, I think, are downstairs in my hotel. So I'm praying that we can get some sleep tonight. But I agree with you. Rob Page deserves huge credit. I was one of those who thought he should have played a different formation in the first match. Certainly thought he should have changed it for today, and actually said that I thought it was going to be a difficult day for Wales once I saw that starting lineup. But even the likes of Joe Roden looked like Brazy today. It was unbelievable, his performance, probably the game of his life. You know, everything came together for Rob Page and Wales today. They deserve huge, huge credit, so much so that I'm not even going to ask how far I truly believe they can go in this competition. I think Gary covered it a little bit as well, but certainly looking forward to a massive game against Italy in Rome up next. And speaking of the Italians, another great win for them. They beat Switzerland 3-0 in Rome. Manuel Locatelli with a brace from midfield means Italy are now unbeaten in 29 games. Unbelievably, they have kept clean sheet in their last 10 matches as well. I think they could well be the biggest threat to France. And of course, they are the overwhelming favourites with most. Ian, do you think they can challenge?
Yes. Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. There's, you know, you go through that run of unbeaten games, and the vast majority of the opposition, you would say, are teams Italy ought to beat. But there's the great dynamic there under Mancini, isn't there? There's clearly a self-confidence among the players. There's a nice blend of newcomers and old stagers, and they're playing with adventure, swagger. It's helpful to be at home, I guess. One of the aspects that interests me is that he really seems to have got his centre forward firing, which was an area of doubt. Ciro Immobile, 2 goals now in one in each game. That's a big deal. Immobile is a very successful Serie A striker, but has been struggling for international status for the best part of a decade now. He seems to have his mojo, and that's a barometer of what Mancini has done, I think.
Locatelli of Sassuolo now looks like he's in the shop window already after 2 matches. So many people that don't watch a lot of Serie A saying this is a player that needs to be moving to even bigger clubs. Well, I think Juventus might be having a close look as well. But the team, Gregor, has no real superstar. Is that its biggest strength?
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly the thought that was going through my head watching them tonight. Immobile's goal tonight was kind of quite fortunate. I think, the goalkeeper should have saved it. And it's true, we'll give him a great lift. That is still my only question mark about Lane. I said this after the first game, they've not really been tested greatly yet. And whether they have someone who can score the goals. But they are the most sort of cohesive, coherent looking team in the competition. There are other teams who have better players, a better array of talent, but they are playing as a team. And, that's very powerful. And I think they're also playing with real kind of pace and purpose. The way that they play through the thirds very, very quickly. Jorginho is playing a huge role in the team. There was a moment in the first half tonight where, they clearly have a plan. There was a moment in the first half where Jorginho had the ball. You have to say Switzerland gave him the kind of freedom of the entire middle of the park. But he had the ball and Insigne didn't make a run from the wing to inside, and he was screaming at him to do it. It's just basically standing with the ball, screaming at him to make the run, and he eventually did. There's clearly patterns of play. He comes inside, Spinazzola is going to do the overlap. Berardi, left-footed kind of winger on the right. Barella, Barella's probably the closest thing to a star, I think. He's a super player, and he making some surging runs through midfield. Chiellini came off injured with what looked like a hamstring in the first half, so that will be a worry for them because his partnership with Bonucci is legendary, and the basis of their defence could be what takes them very far. Because as I say, I just question whether they will have the goals against better opposition. But as I say, without a doubt, probably the most enjoyable team to watch so far. The best football, most coherent looking team. They just haven't quite been tested to the limits yet.
Well, up 6-0 on aggregate after two matches. Might not need a serious goal scorer like the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo or Kylian Mbappe to take them through. But like you say, I agree. Looking like a great team right now. And it looks like Wales will join Italy going through from Group A. Ian, Switzerland, are they a disappointment for you just finally on them?
Yes, because I think on paper that's quite a talented team and I think quite a talented coach. I think all of us who watched them on Saturday thought they probably should have come out of the Wales game with a little bit more than they did. Mbolo was exciting, but really, really limp looking now, aren't they? It is a bit of a disappointment because, you could name four or five players in that team who are, who are quite exciting to watch. And you can imagine them clearly being finishing third in the group, in which case we may see a bit more of them. But I would hope it's a better Switzerland if we do.
Yeah, they seem lackluster for me. Something just not quite right with Switzerland at the moment, but we'll see if they can get things together going forward. In Group B, earlier on today, it was Finland 0, Russia 1 in St. Petersburg, thanks to a lovely finish from Alexei Miranchuk of Atalanta. Finland's defence for me in that game, far too passive. But they have got 3 points on the board already, which could be massively important for them. It means in that group, Belgium, Russia and the Finns all on 3 points. The game between Belgium and Denmark tomorrow, though, then becomes fascinating. Two teams that many people, Alison Run in particular, says Denmark could do well. Lots of people believe this could be the year for Belgium. But of course, that huge blow in the first game for the Danes and a real emotional mountain to get over after the collapse of Christian Eriksen, of course, his cardiac arrest. I just wondered finally to ask you, Gregor, I'll ask you from a playing perspective, whether you think they can come back with a sort of renewed strength.
Well, I mean, thankfully, I've never been in any position remotely like this. Sometimes you have a close teammate who's injured and, ruled out for a season. This is a completely different kind of realm altogether. And it was interesting reading Matt Lawton's kind of report from the Denmark press conference today, and Yusuf Poulsen was basically suggesting he thought it could bring the team closer. It could, kind of unite the team after that shared experience and, the pretty iconic imagery of them kind of protecting their teammate as he lay prone on the floor behind them. And so it's quite possible. The other thing you have to say, though, is they're without their best player. So that's a major blow in itself. But it will be very interesting to see. You know, even without this incident having happened, it's a huge test for them. So I do fear personally that the kind of trauma of that incident in the first game and losing the first game, it might well spell the end of their tournament.
Ian, will Belgium be too much for Denmark tomorrow?
Well, logically, and I think you would have probably said this anyway without everything that's happened in the last 5 days. I mean, it was very interesting listening to the Danish manager and the players today, steering this very, very difficult line between taking in all the emotional impact and putting foregrounding Christian Eriksen in two ways, as you know, as a valued friend, somebody who, you know, for awful moments they thought they might have lost. As Gregor says, clearly their best player, and as their manager says, and their players say, clearly their best player. The manager was talking about step by step towards normality, and that's a very fine balance as well. You know, they are in a very important, practical, professional, big game tomorrow, but it's so informed by everything that's happened, and I guess they are also trying to channel some aspects of what's happened. Yeah, I mean, a real task, and an even bigger task when you're playing against the team rated number one in the world. It's you feel for them, and they will be so supported tomorrow.
Absolutely, they will be. The ball being kicked out on the 10th minute, I believe, by Belgium's players, and of course a round of applause, I believe, in support as well. It's going to be, as I say, a really intriguing contest between Belgium and the Danes as well. We'll discuss that on tomorrow's episode of the podcast, as well as Ukraine taking on North Macedonia and the Netherlands back in action against Austria as well. But I'd like to thank you, Gregor Robertson, Ian Hawkey, and of course Gary Jacob, who I spoke to earlier, for joining me for this episode of The Game, Euro 2020. Remember, if you're enjoying it, make sure you are subscribed. Also, subscribe to The Times and The Sunday Times right now. You can get it for less than £1 a day. Just go online, search thetimes.co.uk/thegame to start your free trial. We will see you tomorrow.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.